ashamed of that. And I hope you guys see the relevance of that. Book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, word by word. And so when we're going through these great books of the Bible and we're teaching through them, it gives you a holistic picture of why and the context and a lot of the things and the power of that book instead of just breaking it down here and there. And so I am so thankful. I am so thankful that God has allowed us to go through this book as where we are as a church and the joy and the unity that God has brought even through the teaching of this word. And then as we finish up, partners in the gospel and how nobody knew the things, even Aaron, he didn't know exactly what God had. I mean, God just confirms and he puts his presence in and through his Holy Spirit, he allows us and he brings things together. And here we are, partners in the gospel. What does that mean? Look around. These are your partners in the gospel. We're all in this together, the work of the Lord. And Paul's finishing up his great book here on unity and joy. And we get to our verses, we're even going to see our memory verse fleshed out in this verse in the context of that. Also, remember, we don't pick and choose our verses, which, by the way, I saw these praying hands. Somebody found this little bracelet or something that goes on a necklace there. That's there. But we, look, just kind of switch gears right there. Somebody found praying hands. Somebody's praying. Praise God. But we preach the whole counsel of God. And so I want you to know when we get to different areas and when I'm preaching through books of the Bible, I'm going to preach the truth of God's word. I'm going to preach it and teach it as God has written it down for each and every one of us. And as we go through, there'll be hard, there'll be difficult things that we learn about. But you know what? We press through when we preach these things. And so it is when we get to these scripture today. You know one of the toughest messages for a pastor to preach? You know what it is? It's on money. It's on giving. You say, why? It shouldn't be awkward at all. Why? Because we're with family and all these things. Because a lot of people perceive it as him just looking out self-preservation or an agenda, those kind of things. I want to stand before God and you today and tell you your pastor does not have that. He doesn't have an agenda. He's not trying to do something or manipulate. I am not worried about myself either. And when it comes to preaching about money or anything or sin, I'm going to preach that as we come in God's word. And the partnership in the gospel as he's finishing off today, this beautiful, we know that we've studied and he's going back in Philippians 4 to where he started in chapter 1 and 3 through 5 where he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine, making a request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Man, they were partners with him in the gospel and their fellowship. And this letter was just encouragement sent back to this church to encourage them. And I want us to stand on our feet today as we reverence God's word. Philippians 4, 14 through 23, and the title, Partners in the Gospel. And we'll see that Paul is going to show us some things about this partnership. Look at Philippians 4, chapter 4, 14. It says, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus a thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are in the Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, for a few minutes, God, will you just come and show us what it is you're trying to show us through your word. Speak to us. May we have open hearts to receive it. Hide me behind the cross. May Christ go forth in Jesus' name and for his glory. You may be seated. So Paul is showing this partnership in the gospel that he has with this church in Philippi. He's showing them, look, he wants to recognize there's some observations in being partners in the gospel. I want us to think about that. Do you realize that you are partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ? That message that the kids were singing about, that message that changes life. The very reason why I hope all of us are sitting here is because the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that has touched our lives and changed our hearts. And yet it's our responsibility as partners in the gospel to take that message outside these doors. It is not just the pastor's job to take the message of the gospel. It is everybody sitting here. It's our required job. God has commissioned us to take the gospel outside these doors into our community, to live the gospel. And so Paul, I love, as he's finishing up this great book, he's showing these observations that he has for his partnership, this church at Philippi, and their partnership with him in the gospel. And our first observation I want to see is their sacrifice. Look at verse 14 and 16 through 16. It says, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once again for my necessities." Paul, if he'd have finished off, remember last week was the scripture on contentment, and where he finished in 10 and 13, if he'd have finished there where he was talking about, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," if he'd finished there, he would probably have been perceived. He didn't want this church to think that he wasn't appreciative for the gift and their partnership with him in the ministry. And that's where he picks up when he says, "Nevertheless." He said, "I want you guys to realize something, the importance of that partnership that you have with me, and I'm not overlooking this gift that you've sent me by Epaphroditus." And remember, he said, it's like the blooming of flowers, like springtime in this prison cell. He said, "I want you to know the weight of this, the gravitas of what it means." And he tells them that he realized their sacrificial gift, their sacrifice. He assures them, "You've done well." That song, that word is kalos, which means something noble or beautiful in character. Man, he said, "You guys are, your beautiful character has reached me here in this prison cell in Rome." He said, "And you've sacrificed with me in my affliction." And then he makes this beautiful statement there in 15 when he says, and you know what he does? He takes them back down memory lane. You ever do that? You just go back to the start where they began and how the church was birthed. And there's nothing wrong with going back. And he said from the very beginning, 15, "Now you Philippians know," and that's a term of endearment. Man, he's talking to his children. He's talking to his partners. He's talking to his church. He said, "You Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel," when was the beginning of the gospel? When he came to Macedonia. When he got the Macedonian call and he said, and God sent him that great vision, "Come over to Macedonia," and he birthed these churches here. He said, "You remember that at the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia," he says, "no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." I want you to see their sacrifice was in giving, but also in receiving. They were partners. They were partners in the gospel. They had given Paul financial aid. They had met his needs. 10 years had went by the way, I mentioned that last week. 10 years since the church had been birthed, and yet they were still in this partnership. No matter where Paul went, they were sending him this financial aid. And Paul said, "You shared with me in receiving and giving and receiving." Now, how did they receive? Do you understand that Paul was their father in the faith? That he taught them, he brought the scriptures to God, he shared God, the gospel message with them, they received the gospel of Jesus Christ, but that wasn't the only thing they received. Everywhere that Paul went, everything that he did, every church, every person that heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were receiving. That was on their list too. That was part of the fruit of their life. If we can grasp a hold of that, think about you guys, and I was thinking about this in the context of Vacation Bible School this week, and man, you guys came out and you gave a lot of time, and it took a sacrifice. Think of those little kids as they're up here on this stage and they're going through those motions. They're singing a song. They're singing about the gospel. And one day, and a lot of them already have, when they receive the gospel message, you have a part in that. That's your partnership in the gospel. And Paul's encouraging them. He's saying, you are not just giving. You're not just giving them financial things, but you're receiving because everything I do, you have a part in. Do you realize that's the same thing with South Fork Baptist Church? Every member that's a part of the giving to this church, as a part of coming and sacrificing, giving your time, you have a part in everything that goes on here in the gospel message that touches lives, that changes the community you're in partnership with. And that's what Paul is telling them. They were receiving. What are they receiving? Not only his teaching through the scripture, and they had received the gospel message himself, but they were also receiving the fruit of his work as he labored in these other churches in these other areas.
And he was encouraging them. You know, in the context of our local church, it's giving and receiving. How do we give and receive financially? And I love what Aaron said. I thought about that. Man, these kids were excited. Dude, I put a couple buckets up here and told him. They were excited to bring, and you wouldn't believe the pennies. And the, like he said, they emptied everything that they had. But we could learn a lesson from them, couldn't we? They were excited. And God, it says that God loves a cheerful giver. Hilarious. That's, have you ever, when the offering plate comes by, do you, oh, praise God, I can give him. Do we ever do that? I mean, seriously, he said that's what he loves. He loves a cheerful heart. And the truth of the matter is, if we're not involved in that part of the partnership, if we're not giving, we're not involved also in receiving. If we're not giving to the Lord's work, if we're not involved financially with the church, all we're doing is receiving. We're not giving. So that's not a partnership, according to the Word of God. Two indicators will tell me what's important to you. That's your time and your checkbook. Think about that. Your time. What do you spend your time on? What is that that you spend all your time on? That's one indicator of what's important to you. And your money, your checkbook. What are you spending your funds on? That's what the two indicators of what's important in their life. These Philippians, which by the way, in 2 Corinthians it talks about, they were very poor. They weren't given out because they were just lavished upon and had plenty, but they were given out of their poverty. Well, what a lesson that we could learn. So many times we give from our abundance and we don't even think about the sacrificial giving that God talks about that these Philippians were given to Paul down the road. Thessalonica was 95 miles down in Asia Way. And good, you know, it'd be very easy that this group could say, well, that's Thessalonica's problem. Paul's gone on now. Did they think that way? No. They were sending him funds right there at Thessalonica because they realized the importance of the partnership. I have to take out this time just to thank you guys. Thank you for last week, Vacation Bible School. We couldn't have done it without the 40-plus volunteers that came out. Bible school is not just about entertaining kids. A lot of you saw it as just a week off from church. But a lot of people came out and gave their time. And look at the investment at the kids. Thank you as a pastor. Man, I've never been more prouder than this group and how they worked together and how everything just flowed. And you know, when we came, we run into obstacles, we just jumped on over it and kept on going. Why? Because the focus was about reaching kids for Christ and the message of Christ. Great messages. I'm talking about, is Jesus the Son of God? Was Jesus more than just a good man? Did he really die? Is he really alive? And then that's evidence. And then what am I supposed to do with this evidence? Man, do you see that gospel message that went forth? I just want to thank you. Thank you as a church. You're a giving church. You get behind things. Man, I know where that $1,450 came from. Oh, come on. I realize that, yeah, it came from a lot of piggy banks, but it came out of a lot of mom and dad's pocketbooks. Thank you for that. There's some kids in India that's going to have some sandals and backpacks to go to school next year because you gave towards that. Thank you. Thank you for making it easy to be your pastor. I'm so thankful for that. I don't take that for granted. We're in partnership together. I want you to know something. We're in partnership with the gospel. Everything that we do as a church, when we're involved in this sacrifice of time and finances, then everything that goes on here, you're a part of. And I want to thank you for that. Not only did he observe their sacrifice, but look at God's perspective on their giving in verses 17 and 18. Paul says, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." You know what? It's not about, Paul shows them right here, it's not about you guys meeting my needs, even though they are, and he was thankful. He's talking about the fruit. He talks about the fruit that abounds to your account. Paul, again, like last week, he's saying, you know what? I know that you're my mature Christians in Christ. You're my children in the faith. Why? Because you're growing in this process of generosity. You're growing in, you're letting God use you wherever you are. You're letting God use you to help me to present the gospel to a lost world.
Paul said that was the fruit that abounds their account. He's actually using some commercial terminology here, accounting terminology. And then I want you to see he's going to switch over. He said they're growing in their grace and generosity. And you think, wow. And then he makes this great statement. Look what he says there at the end. He said, a sweet smelling aroma and acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. He goes from commercial language to sacrificial language. He's talking about worship unto God. That's Old Testament, that sacrificial language. Do you think of your giving of your time and your money as worship unto God? That's what the Scripture's saying. That's what Paul's saying. Man, it's like this sweet aroma, this worship unto God. You know what? That's a well-pleasing thing unto Him. Do you not think when we had those buckets, when those kids were putting that change and all that thing, do you not think God was sitting up there saying, you not think He doesn't do the same thing when we pass the plate around and we give back to Him that which He's given to us? It's worship unto Him and it pleases God. And that's what Paul's saying here. God's perspective on our giving financially is worship. It's part of our worship. It's not just a tack on. It's part of our worship. I appreciate the deacons as they come up and challenge. I appreciate, Aaron, that word that you gave today. Thank you. Man, we can learn a lesson from the kids sometimes, can't we? God's perspective, sweet smell and aroma. Their gift had no higher value. Listen what Hebrews 13:16 says. Do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. God is well pleased when we sacrifice and we give of our time and our money and our talents unto Him. God is well pleased. And Paul said, that's what it's about. He said, I'm not trying to look out for myself. I want you guys to know I appreciate it. And that's what he says when he says, I have these things because you're taking care of me. And I want to overlook that and not say thank you for that. But I want you to know that it's so much higher than that you're pleasing God. Why? Because it's a sacrifice and a worship unto Him. And it's not just about me. It's about the gospel and the message going forth. Well, our last observation is he saw their sacrifice. He saw God's perspective, but I want you to look here at God's promise. We'll see our memory verse here, and I want us to look at the context of what it says. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with you, greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are in Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You see, whenever we have this partnership in the gospel, we have this sweet assurance also. And what is that? He said, my God's going to supply all your need. Now we like a lot of, if I had people, somebody said, well, that's my favorite memory verse. But I want you to see the context of that memory verse was in their sacrificial giving to take care of Paul. It was their sacrificial giving and he's saying, God's going to meet all your needs. I'm going to tell you something. I grew up poor. I couldn't put the O-R on it. Poe. I grew up that way and I didn't understand, but when I was little, I didn't know no better. I just enjoyed life and it went on. As we went into seminary, boy, there's some Poe people in seminary too. Them guys that leave off and they go down there. I can't tell you the time that we didn't know where the rent was going to come to go into college housing. And I'll never forget getting my kids together and they said, we're going to have to pray because I don't know. I didn't have no problem telling them. We paid our tithes, by the way. We didn't stop paying tithes. I didn't say, God will understand because my bills is more important. I never said that one time. See, when I got saved, for some reason, I don't know who taught me, but I understood that tithing was a part of going to church and being involved in the partnership of the gospel. Never one time did I sacrifice. But I can tell you the time we stood in a circle, you can ask this woman right here. I said, God, you know we put you first. You start claiming them things, right? Lord, we put you first. You know I'm down here. Look, I'm down here, Lord, because you sent me here. I'm down here. I'm just being honest. I want my kids to hear. But Lord, we don't have this month's rent. I don't know where in the world it's going to come from. I do not know. But God, I trust in you. I trust in you, and I give you what was first. And your word right here said that you're going to supply all that need. Go out to the mailbox, and there'll be some from some hospital bill that they overcharged you from. Exactly. In fact, I think it was $3 or $4 over what we needed. $600 and some from an insurance and overpaid you. Come on, get real. And take that in front of them kids and say, do you see? That's what God did. It wasn't a coincidence. And no chance happening. This is what God did because His word is true. I put that through the test. You put God first, and I promise you, His word says He'll take care of your needs. And look, what does He supply it by? It's not because of their supply or what they had at the church of Philippi, but according to His riches. How rich is God? How rich is Jesus? He owns it all. He has it all. He's the Son of God. He can supply every need you have. But you know what? It's in the context of you giving to the gospel, the partnership that you have. It's not just receiving. It's not just coming and just receiving. It's giving to God's work. He said, I promise I'll provide for you when you do that. You can't afford not to tithe. I promise you that. God's going to get it one way or the other, especially if you're one of His children. And Paul's letting them know, man, it's a partnership in the gospel. It's a great partnership. And I want you to, he said He'll supply all your needs. What's He going to supply? When we are in partnership in the gospel by giving to the work of God, He will provide what? He provides peace and persecution. Praise God. Look what else. He provides contentment in whatever circumstances. Did He not cover that? And then He provides materially in their sacrificial giving. My God shall supply all your needs. Not just a few, all of them. Your needs now, not your wants. Remember we talked about that last week. He'll meet your needs whenever you're in partnership with the gospel. When we get our focus on what it is all about, it's about taking the gospel out to a lost world in a community around everything that we do should circle around that. Then God provides for our needs according to His riches. And then please don't miss this, because he finishes up, and you think that it's just a greeting, but I love when he gets into verse 20. He says, now to the Lord and now to our God and Father be glory forever. Amen. You know what? Forever and ever. You can't help but when you understand this, did Paul grasp this? He knew what it was to be in the gospel. He had seen God taking care of himself many times. He said, I know what it is to be having a lot. I know what it is to have a little. But I know how it is to be content also. And he says, all you can do is break into an antithesis of praise. Praise God! To God be the glory. He's the one that provides. He's the one that it's all about. And that's what he says. But then don't miss 21 through 23 as I was studying this. I feel like God, it just kind of leaped off. I'm not smart enough to see it on my own. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to see some of these things. But you think he's just listing off greetings and a blessing there when he says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren, what? The brethren who are with me greet you. What brethren are you talking about? Oh, just the ones that you Philippians had a part in sharing the gospel that's come to know Christ here in Rome. Do you see that? As he's telling them, he said, these brethren greet you. They send their greetings. Brothers and sisters in Christ that you've never met. Do you realize you got them all around the world, by the way, that you're a part of when you're partners in the gospel? And one of these days when we get to heaven, you don't even know some of the things because you were willing to sacrifice of your time and money. People come to know Jesus all around the world. Paul's telling them right here. They greet you, and then all the saints greet you, he said. And please don't miss 22 right there, because this is one of them about had a shouting spell. All the saints greet you, especially those who are in Caesar's household. Dear Lord, the great government of Rome and Caesar, the greatest emperor, the gospel is penetrating even into his house. Do you see that? There's nobody, there's nowhere, no person, nobody that the gospel cannot penetrate. He's saying they're even coming to know you. How in the world was that? Well, he was just strapped to those guards, right? Those elite guards. And if you remember the special forces, the black ops guys, he was just chained to them. And you know what? When you're chained to a man of the gospel, what are they going to hear? The gospel. They were coming to know Christ, and it was making an effect even into Caesar's palace. Do you not see what he's telling them, Philippians? You're making a difference. You're making a difference because you're partners in the gospel. And he finishes off and he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. You know what?
this great book of encouragement that he's written to this church and how he summed it up. And if you went through all the pages and if we went through the chapters, we got one theme. There's joy in what? In Christ. There's unity in Christ. The gospel message is about Christ. It's Christ-likeness. Christ, Christ, Christ. I can do all things through who? Christ. And that's what this great book is, a summation of. It's about Jesus, your Christ-likeness. It's about making a difference. It's about being partners in the gospel, going out. Do you know, listen, why are these pews not full? Why? It's because you're not asking people to come to church. You're not inviting them. So, well, Dave, I've been awful busy this week. I'm sure glad Jesus didn't say, I was too busy to go up to Calvary. I'm just going to take the time off. This thing is winding down. You look at the news every day, it's winding down. It's our responsibility to be out, at least inviting people to church, asking them to come. Why? Because I think this is the best church anywhere around here. Why? Because you're here. People that love Jesus. People that are willing to sacrifice, give their time to Vacation Bible School. People that give to the finances of this church so we can go forward. We've got a youth pastor coming up here. Going to be a great asset here. He's going to have to go out in the community and find him a part-time job. But you know what? I hope that we grow to the point that he can be full-time. Why? Because serving students is full-time. I promise you that. And we say these things are important. Is it important enough that we're making a difference by giving into partnership of the gospel? Paul says that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And he ends this great book telling them, you know what? This is what's happening in Rome, and you have a part of it. Well, let's look at some applications, and we'll be done. Our first application, are you a partner in the gospel through giving to the church? It's not about some pastor taking care of yourself. I could care less. I want fruit to abound to your account. Why? Because you're loosening up your pocketbook and seeing it not as something what I can't, but I can. Because why? Because Jesus did. Period. Number two, do you see your giving as worship unto God? Boy, that's a good question. Do I see my giving when I write that out? When I write that check out, do I see it? Lord, this is worship unto you. Let me tell you, when we went over to India, couldn't help it when I did that, Sandy. Remind me of that. Went over to India, but in Hyderabad. I got to say it right. I was saying Hyderabad. They correct me. Hyderabad. Excuse me. We'd go up there and we'd feed the lepers. We'd go and little old kids run around in slums. Guys, you know how blessed that your children are that they're not born in the slums of India. Little animals. Sometimes I can't even, I've told you about this, I can't even sleep sometimes because I see them working the trash pile like a little dogs. That's what it reminds me of. And then people don't care about them because they say they're Hinduism, they were sinning in their past life, and so this is what they get for it. Boobish! That ain't what the scripture says. He says that Jesus died for all men, and them kids need to know about a Savior. And you got people that are over there that are teaching about feeding them. You know what? This pastor and his dad, John Babu and John Moses. And we would write out, we'd get a couple $100 to feed a whole leper colony or feed these kids, and we'd write that check out. You know what he'd do? He'd pull that car out. Look. And he'd hold that thing up to God. And he'd say, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for this offering for these kids. It was so powerful. Look, you give them $20 beer. I'm serious. We think it's funny, but think about what he's saying. He was worshiping and he was holding that up to God. He's saying, thank you, God, for supplying this need for these children or for these lepers or these things. You realize that that's when we come to the offering, a time we should be saying, thank you, God, for the health and the strength that I have. Thank you, God, that you give us the grace and the knowledge. Thank you, God, for the message of Jesus that goes forth and changes lives. It should be worship unto him. Last application. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? It's time for us to start getting serious, okay? It's time for us to start doing our part, inviting people. Why do we invite people? Because we want them to hear the gospel. We want them to experience God's people. We want them to see the difference that Christ can make in our lives. Question is he making a difference in your life? Are you living by the standard of God's word? Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior, your personal Savior? Are you out saying, I'm a member of South Fork Baptist Church, but living in sin, living contrary to God's word? God help you. God help you. What is it that the Lord wants me to do with what He's given me today? Wilma, come up and pray. Short message. Don't know how God spoke to you today, but listen, I'm so thankful. Thank you guys for being a church that loves and cares. We got a long way to go, don't we? Don't get satisfied. Don't get complacent. Got a long way to go. We need to be inviting people to church. We need to be giving to the partnership of this local church. We need to be reaching out, doing more. Why? Because Christ is worthy of everything we do. Brittany. Stand to your feet.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come.
How's God speaking to you today? Are you lost? Come forward. I'd love to tell you how you can receive Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Don't worry about what anybody would think. Come on. How's He speaking to you today?
Just as I am.
If you need to do business with God, this is your verse.
To rid my soul of one dark blot, to
people praying. What about you?
God, I come just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings with
so much. Be praying, asking the Lord, what can I do? Who can I invite this week? Lord, the partnership in the gospel, see your life is so important. Everybody in here is as important as anybody else. We're all in this together. We're all a team taking the gospel message out into our communities. Who can I invite? Who can I reach? Who can I help somebody to know about Jesus this week? I love you very much. Thank you so much for a wonderful week last week. I know some of you are wore out. Get you a good nap. Listen, going over to that revival tonight over at Ashe County. Great time. Good singers. I think one of the Crabs are singing tonight, right? The Crab, Jeff? Adam Crab. He's singing tonight. So great. They got the Gold City. Man, they got a bunch of good groups this week. So be a part of supporting that Ashe County revival. And come out. If you want to ride with us, we'll have a good time. We'll take the van, leave about 5:45, and see what the Lord does. Let's finish in prayer. Ted, if you'll finish us in prayer, and we'll dismiss.
Father, you're so good. Your word is true. You are faithful. We praise you for that, Father. And thank you for all that give, for all that come to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for all the gifts. Pray.